So I could say chapter 1, but that wouldn't be right. The second letter to John, if you turn there, it's just before you get to 3rd and Jude, then Revelation. So it's in the back of the book. We're going to go through this today verse by verse. We'll see how far we get. And I really believe that God has some words for us in this short little epistle here. Tell me when you got it. It says in verse 1, it says, "The elder unto the lady elect and her children whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all those who've known the truth." Now this is written to somebody that really doesn't have a name. We don't really know the name of this individual. But John's going to write a letter to this church, and it's going to be addressed not only to her, but to the congregation. How many believe that there are a lot of nameless people that God's going to pour out a blessing upon? There's a lot of nameless people that will be rewarded in heaven. Now, God knows their name. But many times we know of the big ones, the Noahs, the. But now you're going to meet a lady here that's going to raise her family in the gospel. And she's going to get rewarded for it. And she's going to have a public spoken identity to the people. When I look at this lady's chosen by God. She's walking holy. She's demonstrating that she, her saved. And the apostle himself saying, "Whom I love in the truth." How many of those goodness and virtue elevates each one of us? Truth demands acknowledgement. And the apostle loved her, and also the congregation that she represented loved her. What I love about God is that it's not so much the possession she had, but that she was serious about her Christianity. How many of us, when we walk in truth, we walk in love? When we walk in love, we walk in truth. These are fundamental elements of the Christian walk. Look at verse 1. "To the elect lady and her children, it's rare to meet a whole family that loves and serves the Lord." Can I get an amen there? Now notice the Apostle John's writing to this lady, and not only her, but also to her children. When I look at this portion of verse, I don't know her name, but I know that she's serving the Lord. That John the Revelator is bringing out revelation about her. He's speaking about her. And I believe many times it's overlooked sometimes the faithfulness of people in God's house. Listen, if you're not thanked, I thank you. And most of all, the Lord thanks you. When he thanks you, it'll be well done, good and faithful servant, and bless you forever. Preachers, listen to me, that pastor the sheep need to teach them that, hey, you serve the Lord, God will bless. Too often that a pastor or a hireling will just, hey, fleece the sheep and won't feed the sheep. Each one of us are growing from glory to glory. A true shepherd looks at truth as something that needs to be spoken. But truth needs to have self-denial too. Look at verse 2. "Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." Truth is a beautiful thing. How many of us, when you know the truth, it sets you free? The truth always holds out the longest. Is Jesus the truth? He is. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know what? It doesn't matter what's going to happen on the planet. One day, God's going to bring it all down and bring it all to himself. One day, every person will stand before him. That's a truth. And when it comes to a concrete truth like that, as much as people will deny it, that doesn't mean it's still not going to happen. One day, he's going to return for the church. One day he will judge this planet in righteousness. All those truths are already instituted. They're just waiting to be fulfilled. Each one of us in this room need to walk in truth. When you walk in truth, you're walking where God wants you to be. Say amen. Say God is good. Look at verse 3. "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." I believe personally this is a great way to greet the church. Can you imagine somebody speak to you, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you"? It's like a heart from a parent speaking unto his kids. John the Revelator speaking, listen to me, "Grace, mercy, and peace." How many of us, if we walked in this alone, that is a great thing. How many want grace, mercy, and peace to be upon you? He's addressing this lady and her children. He's not only speaking to them, he's speaking to all those who will hear that, possibly that congregation. I wish I knew the lady's name, but I don't. Scripture isn't clear on it. But he's addressing this letter saying, grace, mercy, and peace be upon you. This salutation needs to be given to all believers. That each one of us need a great blessing to be upon. Matthew Henry says that in God's grace, it's like a fountain of blessedness. It keeps bubbling up. Isn't that how God is? I mean, you can't walk in just one blessing. There's no stinginess with God. He brings it upon. As we get farther into this, I want you to know why some aren't blessed. I'll get to that in a minute. When I look for grace, grace always comes from our Lord Jesus. He's the author. He's the communicator of every heavenly blessing. Notice the next part, mercy. Listen to me. Man, listen. We're miserable in our sin, but God's grace and mercy, his mercy reached in and changed what would ruin us, the misery of man, Jesus entered into. I think that's so awesome that he entered into our sin. Think about it. He didn't enter into something great for us. He entered into our sin. He took our misery. Notice it wasn't our strength he entered into. We were lost and separate from God. Why did Jesus come? He came to give his life a ransom for many. So he took our sin. He entered into that, that we could be partakers of his righteousness. That is flat awesome. I got him and he got me. I got the better of the deal. That's why when somebody walks away from the Lord, I think to myself, wait a minute. God got you and you got him. You're leaving him? Say amen. Sometimes we need to shake ourselves a little bit. God always shows in mercy there's acts of love, there's gifts of love, and there's effects of love. Sincere grace and mercy, listen, when those two start to work, we have peace. When grace and mercy are working in our lives, we have peace. Isn't that peace something that calms our soul? I mean, it's that when we have that, no matter what we're going through, it's like, yeah, everything's just flying apart, but I got peace. You ever notice that calms you right through it? It gives you that outlook like. John's speaking to this church, speaking to this lady and her children. Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you. When that peace of God comes, it guards your heart and mind. And our minds need to be guarded. I said our minds need to be guarded. It's the battleground. How many ever have had battles in your own mind? How many ever had, listen to me, some vain imagination going on? It hasn't happened, but you got it going on up there. How many ever had to speak to yourself, say, no, I'm not thinking about that? Anybody here? How many ever got you down a wrong road, got your emotions involved in the whole 10 yards? Isn't that a miserable thing? That's how the enemy traps us in that. He tries to get us to operate. Well, he wants the world to operate always in vain imaginations. He really does. The trophy of the enemy is the imagination of man. And if you look in the last days, when every thought comes to be continually evil, Jesus said judgment would come. It's like the days of Noah. If you want to know what it was like with Noah, every thought was continually evil all the time. And God only found Noah and his family righteous. Think about that. As his eye looked over the whole planet, I don't know how many people were alive at that time. They can estimate, but I don't really know. It got reduced down to one family. And if you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, he had to usher out Lot and his family before judgment came. That should be good news for us too. That he's going to take the church before big judgment comes. There's a pattern of it. He always removes the righteous, amen, before. Hallelujah. The church should greet each other. How about grace and mercy be upon you? When's the last time we spoke that one to another? Say, man, grace and mercy be upon you. Not that we got to get stuck in a rut and speak that all the time. But I think it's a great calling. You know, grace and mercy and peace be upon you. How many of us in sincerity that means something? Man, if the church could walk in that grace and mercy and have that peace, believe me, we can handle anything that comes our way. And I believe that as things get tough and tight, that we need it and we need to rely on one another. I never want to have a false sense of security when things get better. Oh, everything's cool. No, we still need the Lord, even if it is great. This grace that God has removed our guilt and mercy delivered us from our misery, and that peace set us free. That we have in our spirit, we can just like, oh, it's good. It's like climbing into bed when you're really tired and you pull the covers up and you go, oh, bed is good. I don't know how many times I've said that in my, oh, bed is good. Amen. Heaven's going to be just like that. You're going to fit in like, oh, this is so good. Nobody who's ever went there wants to come back. That's how awesome it is. No matter how great your life was here, it's so much greater. Look at verse 4. I greatly rejoice that I have found some of your children walking in truth as you received the commandment of the Father. The apostles rejoicing over this lady's children who's walking in truth. Well, I'll make it modern today. He's looking at the church saying, you know what? I'm so thankful you guys are walking in this truth. Can you imagine a family serving the Lord? Isn't that an awesome thing? Say amen. I remember I was at a church one time, and this family had seven little children, seven little guys. And they arranged. None of them were really old. They arranged all the way down to when the infant carried in. And they all march in like little soldiers. And I remember one time I had to teach a Sunday school class to the little guys. And they all sat almost on the front row, all but the little nursery one. And I remember I said, turn to your Bible. And they all had this little children's Bible. And they all began to open it up. And the older ones showed the little ones where the... I thought it was so cool. Amen? They were attentive to it. And I told the family, I go, look, you're raising your kids right. We go, there's a lot of work in doing that. Say amen. And even if you raise them right, don't feel bad if they slip a little. Say amen. How many of us, we've all made some bonehead mistakes. I just pray that they learn quickly. True? If you could rewind the clock, there'd be some things you wouldn't have done either. I pray that for your children too. Don't disregard them. Always leave the door open. Is that good wisdom? Amen. When I look at this lady, it says, I greatly rejoice that I found some of your children walking in truth. I love that. They're walking in it. The pastor needs to be happy that kids and their parents are serving the Lord. And this one does. John's rejoicing over that. Man, I'm so happy that you and your kids are serving the gospel. I looked up a few translations there. It says some of them may have been traveling around preaching the gospel. Let's make it modern. Maybe some of them went down to a hugs outreach or a nursing home or sung on the platform or was in the youth group now or children's church. Maybe you have your children here now. I greatly rejoice for you. Say amen. I love it when I see multiple generations serving the Lord. I know Kelly, she had her family here. I think you had four generations. Is that right, Kelly? Four generations. Here, I thought it was so cool. That's so cool. Say amen. And do this. Slow down and talk to everybody. Sometimes we can get such a rush, you'd be amazed how much revelation can come. Amen. Look at verse 4. I greatly rejoice that I found some of your children walking in truth as you received the commandment of the Father. Notice the Father has divine objectives for all of us. One of those is to walk in truth. As church and parents, we need to teach our children to walk in the truth. If you know the truth, it sets you free. And when they know the truth, it's easy to detect a lie. And if we don't teach them the truth, the enemy will teach them a lie. I guarantee it. There is no neutral ground. Speak the truth in love. Amen? Amen. Verse 5. Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Remember the divine law of love. Love one another. Be kind and affectionate towards one another. It's hard sometimes when somebody isn't lovely. True? When your love is challenged, or you reach out and you're sincere about it, and you kind of get that stiff arm. But in that, don't look at the response of others to dictate your love. Sometimes you just got to go, you know, I just can't change that. Praise the Lord. If you don't become offended, you can progress. Amen? In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. What if Jesus said to you, I want you to walk in truth? How many would go, yes, Lord? It's a command that we walk in truth. Just like we walk in love, they are hand in hand. The church cannot end up in a lie if it's walking in a truth. When we love one another, that means we're engaged to one another. Listen to me, we're walking in holiness. There's the evidence of sincerity. It's a mutual Christian walk. The end of the commandment is this, that you love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Lord, teach me to do that. Amen? When our love becomes mature, we don't hurt as much. That doesn't mean you won't take some blows. That doesn't mean somebody won't let you down. But you can push through that. For God so loved the world that he... Was Jesus bummed out that he had to give his life for people that hated him? No, he willingly did it. Amen? He didn't pick and choose saying, I'm only doing this for you and you and you. No, I'm going to die for the whole world. Even if you don't know me or you don't even care about me. That's really a lot of love. Look at verse 6. This is love. That we walk according to his what? If you want to know what love is, this is love. This is his commandment. You've heard from the beginning that you should walk in it. Each one of us need to walk in that. A further description of this is found in 1 John 3:22 and 23. If we received of him what is pleasing, we keep his commands, that we ought to love one another. I know it's difficult, but that's the command of the Lord. In verse 6, it says this, that you should walk in it. Our aim and our scope, everything that's applied, the identity of love, especially brotherly love and obedience to God. If we have the Holy Spirit, then God's asking us, a command is that we walk in truth and that we love one another. Is that simple? Then church, we need to walk in truth and love one another. It's a command of the Lord. He's not making it hard or grievous or trying to get us way out there. He's saying, listen to me, I want you to do this. If we walk in the truth, we'll be able to detect the lie. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. These are the deceivers and antichrist. There are many deceivers today. The description of false teachers. When you have true Christianity, you can see what is false. There are a lot of deceivers today went out. And I'm going to jump ahead for a moment. A lot of people, Christians and anti-Christians, can believe there is a God. But when you put a name on it, you put an identity on it, and you put Lord Jesus, he's our Lord in it, you're starting to know who he is. Sometimes you got to get down to the bottom. Well, what God do you believe in? The God of the tree? The God of the grass? Or the God of the universe? And what's his son's name? We got to get particular about it. You got to call it out. Many are deceived out there today. More than ever, I see this thing called coexist with everything. Light and darkness don't mix. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't like the bumper sticker that says coexist. And all the religions are the same. Because Buddha didn't die for my sins. I'm sorry. Only Jesus Christ did. And it says every knee will bow, even whoever he was, will bow to him. Amen? As Christians, we have that truth. We have to hold on to these things, not compromise with it. Love requires us to walk in the commands. It rests in truth. It embraces the truth. In 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is the command that you should believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he's given us this command. False teachers can influence and affect believers. In 1 John 2:26, these things I've written unto you that, listen, concerning those who try to deceive you. In 1 Peter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Church, we need to be strong in what we're doing here. John the Revelator, John's writing to this church. He's writing to these individuals, to this lady and her children, saying, listen, walk in truth. For there are a lot of deceivers out there. And there is a lot of deceivers out there. And it doesn't mean that they won't agree with you concerning certain points. but they'll always contradict it and bring their own spin with it. It always sounds good, but it's a little off. That's where you got to detect it. Listen to me. If it sounds goofy, it looks goofy, it smells goofy, guess what it is? It's goofy. If it can't point back to Scripture, and it can't be like this, yeah, but this. And they move away from the Scriptures. They add their own spin to it. Amen? How many knows that is all over everywhere? And don't be caught up either in compulsion. I've watched some late night evangelists before, and I've heard them say this, if you don't get in this offering, you will not be blessed. If you don't give right now, you won't. Come on, that's compulsion. Now, if God prompts you to give, that's another thing. How many of us, it's a free will offering in those things? Well, how many people have been caught up like that? Well, I want to get a blessing. Amen? It's easy to make the promise. Is God making that promise to you? Man can make it easy. If he breaks it, no big deal, whoopee. You've already sent them the money. I'll get in that in a minute. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into where? That means your job, your schools, where, listen to me, where you travel, you'll run into this somewhere. Even in this church, I've had people try to come to the pulpit and say, I need to speak to this church because I'm a prophetess or I'm a prophet of God, and I have no clue who they are. And when I said, you know what, you're welcome here, but I'm not giving you the microphone, have them cuss me out as they leave. And instantly I'm like, dude, I can see what was in your heart. I don't need to subject you to that. Amen? All you're going to bring is some false prophet doctrine anyways. And if you won't submit yourself, it already shows me where your heart is. Say amen. I don't rule this place with an iron fist. I rule this by example. I try not to be lords over people. Amen? But when somebody comes in and has a different sound, and I can tell it's a wolf, I'm not going to subject the people to that. I'll step in. Amen? That's why if you hear the sheep going, baa, over there in the corner, you might want to check out what's going on over there. Or if you have something come in, you're like, man, something isn't right with that. Don't disregard that. Amen? Ladies, if there's some hitting on your kids, and you don't know who that guy is, it's okay to step in there and say, who are you? You have every right. Say amen. We need to watch out for one another. I've seen that at altar so many times. An innocent lady just worshiping, just loving God. Just that's all she wants to do. And have some guy from the back, not in this church, but it was another church that did this, all of a sudden look like this. And then slowly move in. Slowly step by him and do this. Look at him. So when she opens her eyes, she sees him worshiping, but he's not even a worshiper. How many of us, we need to have a little discernment too? Listen, just because they lift their hands doesn't mean they're lifting their hearts to the King. Hallelujah. Is that good preaching? All right, I'll move on from there. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. They don't. They don't confess that, hey, that is the reality, that it's real. Listen, if you find that out, I guarantee you the doctrine's going to be wrong. Or if they go, yeah, Jesus, he may have been a good guy. Maybe he was just a prophet. Is he your Lord? Jesus said, the only way you're going to know the Father is through me. And if you don't have me, you don't know the Father. There is no other way. So you can start to pinpoint where it's at. You can ask certain questions on, well, what about this? I've had people tell me that from at my front door, saying, you know what? Yeah, I go, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, we believe he's like a force, like electricity. I go, no, he's a real person. I remember one time somebody came to my door. They were witnessing to be from some other place. God gave me a word of knowledge for this individual. Like told them their whole life right there at the front door. And they were like, How did you know? I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit just revealed that. He's more than just a force. He's a third person of the Trinity. Amen. I said, here's the truth of the scripture. Now, they didn't pray with me to get saved, but they walked away different than they came up to the door. Amen. Let the gifts of the Spirit flow through you. Not to beat somebody over the head, but you want them to see the truth. True? Lord God, give me the ability to minister to them. How many of us, he'll do that for you. He wants them saved worse than we do. Is that a good word? When it comes to Christians, we need to serve the true and living God. Confessing Christ is a powerful thing, but it can't be contradicting back and forth. I look at many times when deceivers come, it is an open denial. It's always that contradicting, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? It tries to get you off your game. Stick to the Word of God. Not everyone who confesses even Jesus is Lord is saved. You'll see the fruit of that. Now, when you got your life right, did it make a difference? How many remember, like, man, I'm different. I'm not perfect, but I'm different. How many had the realization that, man, heaven's your home? Anybody? How many knows the Spirit still abides with you? That's a good thing. When deceiver and antichrist, that spirit is already here. How many see that? Many times, Satan has his forerunners go before those things. Speak in that area. Sometimes when you go out and you're witnessing, believe me, the enemy hates what you do. He'll try to get you off your game or speak something in there or try to get you afraid or cause turmoil here. Press on through. It all crashes. Keep going through. God's still with you. Amen. I know many times the enemy tries to destroy our love, subvert our faith. He tries to get us off to this area here, not to be securing God's command or become unstable. Let me give you another thing to check and watch out for. Many times the enemy will go after people who maybe are a little less, How about a little more gullible? He'll try to pick on the precious lives. He'll try to persuade somebody like that's just wandering out there to get his hooks in so he can convince one, then that one can help convince others. When you come in, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Come on. How many know some people will believe just about anything? Guess who the enemy's going to go after? He's going to try to get a congregation because he hates it when somebody stands up and goes, no, in Jesus' name. No still means no. When you know the truth, you don't become gullible. True? I mean, if I told you the speed limit's 30 on the expressway, would you believe me? Why wouldn't you? It's 80. Yeah, it is 80. I mean, it's 70 on most expressways now, true? Why? Because you've read it and you've driven it. Shouldn't that be what our faith is like too? We've read it and we've definitely drove this thing out. Amen? When I'm securing God's command, you know what? I'm walking in peace and divine glory. It's all good. Look at verse 8. Look to yourselves that you don't lose the things you have worked for, that you may receive a full reward. John's saying, be alert. Consider, listen to me, if you get deceived, you'll lose what you have. A loss of fellowship, you'll lose fellowship with the Father and His Son, you'll lose the truth and your love. It says, look to yourself and don't lose what you have worked for. You know what else that means? Your testimony. In John 15, verse 3, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken unto you. Why would you want to go back to the beggarly elements? In Revelation 3, verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one takes your crown. He who has an ear, let him hear. Can you imagine living your life, serving the Lord, walking in his ways, then all of a sudden deception set in? I knew a minister just like this. He had a huge congregation. God was using this brother unbelievably. And then he got a wrong doctrine. Somehow he came to this thing where I don't believe there's a hell anymore. And the whole work just crumbled. And many of his peers came to him and said, listen to me, please look at this. It's not doctrine. Amen? How many knows he lost what he has? Now, can he change? Absolutely. I haven't seen the brother in a long time. But the truth is, don't lose what you have, your testimony, your strength, your relationship with God. Be alert in these things. You don't know you're deceived when you're deceived. I said you don't know you're deceived when you're deceived. Look at verse 8. That you don't lose. Say you don't lose. How many don't want to lose anything? I don't want to lose what Jesus has done. I don't want you to lose the labor you have in God's kingdom. I don't want you to lose your bold testimony. I want all that to be there. Notice the next part of this verse. That you may receive a full reward. How many want a full reward? Don't get a half reward. If the sign says you find my dog, you get $100. Guess what? I found your dog. I'm glad to give it back to you, but hey, you said you'd give me $100. Is that true? Take it. What if he gives you $1? I mean, I'd still give the dog back because it isn't mine. But I'd be like, hey, man, I didn't get my full reward. God wants you to have your full reward. He wants to make sure you get it. But notice how we can, by being deceived, by walking out of that way, by not keeping his commands, we can forfeit what we could have had. I wonder how many, listen, that will be saved, that will make it to heaven, but will have forfeited their reward because they walked carnal or walked in deception. I don't want anybody in this church to have that. I want the blessing of truth and God's word in your own heart. The full reward. Somebody say full. That means not only starting now, but a continuation there. I want to have some of it now. How would you like to walk in grace, mercy, and peace now to the fullest and continue it right on up? I do. These promises are for yes and amen, for now and forever. The fullness will come. But you know, I want to walk in it now. Amen? In Colossians 3, verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward, the inheritance. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve him. Take that as your heart. Look at verse 9. Whosoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, nor does he know Christ. If he abides in the doctrine of Christ, he both has the Father and the Son. Everyone that transgresses, believe me, you're stepping out of those things. Now, when you sin after a Christian, how many feel miserable after the fact? How many are like, oh man. How many take a little bit to get back to even where you started in the fall? But then you move on from there. There's a process on that part. But during that time, there's some guilt there. There's some like, well, thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Never get comfortable in that state because then you can go, well, just forget it. I'm going to live any way I want. That isn't the way to go. If you get convicted, that's a good thing. Go with the conviction. Amen. It's quickly to change you. Amen? Amen? How many are deceived today and don't even know it? They've walked away from the doctrine. They're doing their own thing. And now it's just a community in Christ. Oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, I know him, but. I know him, but. Come on, it's not serving the Lord anymore. I want a full reward. He's warning them, listen to me, don't give up what you have. You're walking in truth, you're walking in love. That's a good thing. How many knows he's cramming a whole lot into one little letter? Say amen. All this is in that little letter. Sometimes we try to be smart without the scriptures. Say amen. Verse 9 says, whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. He does not have God. Isn't that pretty up to the front in your face? What he's saying, listen to me, unbelievers, unregenerated people don't have Christ. And you can tell by if they abide in the truth. If they don't abide in the truth, they don't have him. Sometimes it's easy to get through that, sift through that. Well, what about me? How much truth am I walking in? I want to walk in more. I need to bury myself in that word. That word needs to be number one importance. Amen. At our early morning prayer, we covered some of this. Lord, touch your church again that they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Can you handle a couple more verses? Look at verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, don't receive him into your house nor greet him. There's a warning against fellowship with false teachers. Listen, don't entertain those things. Look at it and say, you know what? I'm not inviting this in my house. I'll reach you. I'll care for you. But you know what? We're not having fellowship one with another. You can't have fellowship with light and darkness because their goal is to deceive. Your goal is to live for the truth. Why would you invite your family into that? You know how many kids have been swayed because somebody else went out and did their own thing? I'm serious. A lot of youth that come out of high school, when they meet in college and they reach that whole different world in college, a lot of them turn away. You have professors who say God isn't real. They have classes just dictating that. Some of them have denounced their faith even there publicly. I mean, that's a reality. Well, you know what? Not in my house. Not in my. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's a standard of righteousness. I'll witness to you, I'll share you the truth, but I'm not sharing in your doctrine. Amen? Look at verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, don't receive him what? Notice it takes the next step. Or greet him in those things. What that means is, listen to me, I'm not supporting him. I'm not bringing him welcome into my family or sending him money to support his ministry. It is a big deal to God that we don't fund what belongs to the Antichrist. Can you imagine Jesus saying, hey, I've blessed you, and you've taken your blessing and given it to the enemy? That makes no sense at all. The church needs to be responsible for even their giving. If it's false doctrine, you can't support it. Is that good preaching, you guys? Come on, how many people have that? Like, look, they're charlatans. They're ripping people off. Yet people just fund them like no business. Come on, we have to look at that. Amen? It gets tougher here for a minute. Look at verse 11. He who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Don't partake of his business adventures. Don't bless his enterprise. King James says Godspeed instead of greet. That means this. Hey, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to agree with you in prayer. I'm not going to agree with you that you're being blessed, that God's blessing comes upon you because you're partaking of that person, what he's doing wrong deeds. It's serious business to God. Favoring affection, partaking of sin, that ain't where we're at. We have to look and say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God opens up your eyes. But I'm not going to fund your thing. Amen? And you're not sharing your doctrine with my family. You're not doing it. Can you see how error can be changed? Error can be put. No, if that's spoken, it's like a jolt. It's like, man, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I need to look at it. But the world doesn't do that. It goes headlong. If you think about it, in the last days, if you read the book of Revelation, many are going to follow the Antichrist because he's going to do miracles. Many are going to headlong. Can you imagine this? What somebody will do if they get hungry? They'll sell their own soul. All this is going to come to pass. They're going to see miracles done. But it's not going to be the miracles done by Christ, but the Antichrist. And one day it's going to be taken, it's going to be ripped off from them, and believe me, cataclysmic events are going to happen. What I read in Scripture, there's going to be a time where one third of the population is going to pass away. And then after that, another quarter is going to pass away. Who's going to bury all these folks? We're talking billions of people are going to lose their life when judgment comes. That's serious business. If there's anything we need to know, we need to serve our God and walk with him. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. That's why Jesus said, have your lamp full. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Make sure you're burning bright. Your wick isn't like flickering. It's burning bright. You're keeping it on a lampstand so people can see. Hello? And it says this. If somebody comes to you and say, give me some of your oil, say, I can't give you my oil. That's the Holy Ghost. Go buy of yourself. Go get it yourself. Get saved. Amen? Maybe the church needs a good shaking so we can wake up a little bit, realize time is short. But I want to be positive today. Say, positive pastor is here. The positive pastor is here, yeah. Look at verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak to you face to face that our joy may be full. He wrote a lot in a short letter, would you agree? But he was saying in his heart, I'd rather talk to you orally. I'd rather come and speak to you face to face because there's so much more in my heart that I want to give to you. But here's an outline of what I need, what I'm speaking to you. You've been living for the Lord. Your children are following God. It's a great example for the church. And now listen to me. False doctrine is out there. Continue in grace, mercy, and love. Don't entertain these things. There's so much he's bringing out. But he's bringing it out also for the church. We also need to heed to what God has to say. Look at the end of verse 12. That our joy may be full. I want my joy full. The aim is to fill up the reader's joy. And then to the hearer. Hallelujah. You get it and give it away. You speak it to others. In 1 John 1:4, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. A full combination of truth brings joy in the heart. Amen? And then I'll close with this verse. Look at verse 13. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. I looked at this portion of verse here. Now we're talking about a sister. What happened to the one who was, the letter was addressed to? We don't know. We don't know if she was absent or she passed away or she was, but now the sister is addressed. So when I look at this letter, it's not so much who it was written to, but it was written for all of us. The names are really irrelevant. What truth are you walking in? What examples are you setting? If we walk in truth, listen to me, we have fellowship one with another. We love one another because love and truth go hand in hand. False doctrine will be always around us, but we can't heed to that. Each one of us need to have a full heart with grace, mercy, and peace. And when I walk in that peace, it brings joy. I was so happy when I realized I was saved. So happy. It brought me great joy knowing that I'm going to be with him. Heaven is my home. We also need to share that. People need some joy today. How are they going to get it? Know the truth. The lie and deceptions only lead to more. And when you start believing the lie, you start to get wrapped up in it. And much of our family is in a lie. They don't know the truth. Pray that their eyes are opened. How did you ever get saved? How did you ever get touched by God? Somebody prayed for you. Pray that for somebody else. How many have ever been away from the Lord for a time? Let me see your hand. Wasn't that a miserable state? It's like there was no joy in that at all. It was like existing, hoping things would get better. But sometimes they got worse. And then sometimes your flesh would go a certain way and you'd follow those habits and traits. It was a miserable time. But when God steps in and he works it through you and he starts to work that out of you, it's great joy and peace. We need to walk more in God's love and peace. Strength of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is our... When does that finally kick in? How about now? I'm going to walk more in love, more in grace, more in mercy, more in peace that my joy can be full. I'm not going to let circumstances steal my joy. Hello? And if it stole it, I got so much I can easily replace it. Say amen. It's like popping a hole in me and a whole bunch of joy comes out. Hallelujah. How many want it to come out? The real you will be when you're tested. What's still in you? Has anybody still cussed after you've been saved? Let me see your hand. Did you cuss after you got saved? I know you stuck like a trucker, didn't you? Say amen. All right. But how many of those, you caught yourself and went, I still got a little area to work on. But before you were saved, you just spoke whatever came to your mouth. Just flowed out. And the worse inebriated you were, the more came out. You realize what was in your heart, but thank God there's something different. Deception and truth don't walk together. They're opposites. But if you know the truth, you can always detect a lie. Don't have fellowship with unrighteousness. Reach it. I'll witness to the individual. I'll share the gospel, but I'm not partaking of their evil deeds. I'm not wishing them Godspeed. Oh, let's agree together concerning your deception. No, Lord, set them free. Amen. Next area, don't fund what God's opposed. Don't promote that. Amen. Just because somebody runs their little vial under some tap water and claims it's from some spring that you can put under your pillow and you'll wake up different for 1995, don't do it.
Amen.
Say amen. Amen. Sometimes common sense needs to kick in Christianity too. Hello? Is this good counsel tonight? You get anything out of this short letter? Whoever this is written to, one day we'll meet. You can just ask John himself. Who did you write this to? But more than that, he wrote it to me. And he wrote it to you. Can you see John's heart at the end of the letter? I wrote what I could in here, but I have so much more to tell you. Can I say this to you? Talk to people. It's nice to send a text because sometimes it just is handy. But there's nothing like having a conversation. Amen? Jesus will not answer your text message. He'll wait till you pray and talk to him. If he, which has the ultimate in communication, still desires that, we also should too. Now I understand time frames. I understand quick responses. I get all that. But how about this? Talk to one another. There's probably more in your heart that you want to say or than you can just write down. Amen? Be that person. You enjoy tonight? Father, thank you for this time. Lord, for your word, your truth of your word, unsearchable, awesome, fulfilling. Lord, we desire most of all, God, that grace, mercy, and peace to be our portion. Lord, that we know that many deceivers have went out into the world. Lord, that we can detect they don't confess the Christ. Lord, they contradict the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to recognize. And Lord, we won't partake of the evil deeds. Lord, we'll witness in love. We'll reach out to make a difference. But Lord, we're not partaking of it. Help us to stand firm in the truth. And Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that no one will lose their reward. Lord, by being deceived. Forfeit their testimony. Forfeit all they did for Christ. Lord, I pray each one will be strong and strong in your word. Now bless your people. Lord, give understanding concerning all things, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.